Okay, so let's do this. So we started last week, guys. We started dealing with the question of is there an order to the bakashot? So we noted that first off, the Gemara in Brachot has a machloket about whether the emtziot, right, the middle brachot ein lahem see there, or kulachada birchata ninhu. And we know there's a machlokes Rashi Tosfos, that Rashi thinks ein lahem see there means that there's no order whatsoever. You can say hashivenu and then alat tzadikim, whatever, and if you did that, it wouldn't be a problem. Maybe you shouldn't, but it wouldn't be a problem. And Tosfos said that's ridiculous. It builds one or the other. It just means that it's not a single unit, the way the first and last sections are, and therefore if you make a mistake, you go back to the bracha that you made the mistake in, but then you continue ala seder, which we noted seems to be a machloket about the extent to which there really is a coherent order to the bracha. The Tosfot, especially as Mishnah Berurah understands him, because Shulchan Aruch Paskins like Tosfot, thinks that yes, you look, that there are psukim that are quoted for the order, and therefore there's a strict order. There's a strict order from one to the other. But we noted that the Pnei Yeshua defends Rashi, and Lidati, this makes a lot of sense, which is, I don't know what you're talking about. Right? It sounds like there might be internal orders to them, but there's no real reason to assume that there's a consistent order to it, because even when the Gemara quotes Pesukim, it quotes it as linking A to B and B to C, but not A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way to the end. We noted that another place to look for this is the machloket about when you don't have time to daven. Do you say me'ein shmonasre, or do you say havineinu? And havineinu seems to be linked, as opposed to me'ein kol bracha bracha, which isn't linked. And then we noted that another thing that sort of throws a curveball, and I misspoke here. I said this was only the Yerushalmi. It's not. It's just I put the whole thing. If you want to look at it, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi is not the part of the Bavli I put on the source sheet last week when I sent it to you, but now that I printed it, I gave it to you. Part of it is that the Bavli and the Yerushalmi both think that the 7th, 8th, and 9th bracha, Baruch Aleinu, and Rifa'enu, and sorry, Re'evaninu, Rifa'enu, and Baruch Aleinu are in the spaces they are because the numbers are important. The 7th, right, Baruch Aleinu is in spot, Re'evaninu is in spot 7 because Gula is going to be during Shemitah, and Rifa'enu is in spot 8 because to invoke the Bris Milah, which is on the 8th day. Again, and that's part of it, is that these seem to be like hints, right? Like, okay, we're talking about that to the paradigmatic refuah or something like that. Or something like that. But the point is that type of thing tells what?
Paradigmatic refuah is Bris Milah.
Yes. From Bris Milah. I don't know, maybe because that's the first time we in the Torah where we find someone getting better. Maybe that's what it is, right? That you want to invoke that scene and everything there with Bikur Cholim, and I don't know what it is. But the point is that once you start saying that certain numerical things are important, that points in the direction. There's not really an order in that sense. I mean, there is, but like there are other considerations, and therefore you come up with links, but they're not. And then we noted that in the Midrash, right, the Midrash says, oh look, we get the whole order, we get all the brachot from Tfilas Chana, except it's completely out of order, right? Nothing's in order there. So it seems like the ideas are all there, they're all important, but the order doesn't seem to go there. But I noticed a few things as I was thinking about it, again, that pushed this even more. Now tell me what you think about the following. So I noted last time that Havineinu does seem to imply a certain level of order, at least in small units, right? So if you look back at number 7 in Havineinu, the Gemara says, look at number 7 here, the Gemara in Bracha, that Shmuel Omer Havineinu Hashem Elokeinu L'da'at Derechecha U'molu Levaveinu L'yiratecha V'tislach Lanu L'chiyot Ge'ulim. Right, in the Havineinu and the Bavli, it's clear that there are at least localized units, right? Because it's give us wisdom and circumcise our heart to fear you, and forgive us so that we can be redeemed, right? It's clear that there's a link. But I noticed yesterday when I was going through my Yerushalmi Yomi that I wonder whether this is not a machlokes Bavli and Yerushalmi. Because there's a very subtle difference if you look at number 8, in the Rishalmi's version of Havinenu. Because in the Bavli's version of Havinenu, it sounds like there are at least localized links, if not a link from beginning to end. But look at the version that you have in the Rishalmi. Messiah Lerav, Rabbi Zera Shalach, Rabbi Nachum Gaber Yanai, Be Rabbi Shmuel, Amar Le Ezu Mein Sheva, Mein Yuchet, the Shmuel, it's in Shmuel's position of Havinenu, Amar Le Havinenu, Ritzei Tshuvatenu, Slach Lanu, Go Aleinu, Refei Chalyenu, Baruch Shnatenu, right? The Havinenu, according to Yerushalmi, there are no links.
Right. There's no vavs here.
There's no vavs. There's no anything. It's just say a word about each bracha. And therefore, even the proof that we had from Havinenu, that there's links, the Yerushalmi gets rid of it. Right, which I found fascinating. I looked around the Mefarshim. No one even notices that this happens. But the Yerushalmi's version of Havinenu is drastically different from the Bavli's, in the sense that in the Bavli there are connections, and in the Yerushalmi there are not. And therefore, I think that the extent to which there are links is partially machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi. Another point that came to me from the Yerushalmi is the following. As I said last week, one of the ways you have to figure out whether there's a link is by looking at the outliers, right? The Kryptonite Superman analogy. So we'll spend most of the time talking about Rav Onyeinu. But before I talk about Rav Onyeinu, I want to talk about another one. And that is what happens when Shmon Esrei, which was originally 18 and had a linked units to whatever extent that it did, what happens when it became 19? Right? Doesn't that throw everything off? Right? If you think that there's a coherent logic to it, what happens when you throw something into it?
You have to logically make
does
it
anyone say
sound?
Does anyone say 18 is just high or like?
No. The Bavli and the Yerushalmi both say 18 keneged me, and it goes through each one of them. 18 keneged me, 7 keneged me on Shabbos, 24 on Tanit keneged me, 9 on Rosh Hashanah keneged me, and they find allusions to it in all different types of psukim. But that's just the number.
Right.
And Chai is never the one that comes up. It's like the number of times that Shem Hashem appears in this parak of Tehillim and things like that. Like in Havul Hashem ben Ha'ilim and all types of interesting things. Look at this
7, right?
What?
Something like that.
That's by 7, yeah. So, but look at the following machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi. Look at 12. The Bavli asked this question. It says, Gemara hani shmona esrei keneged me. So it says, these 18, what is the point of the 18 and all the proofs? But then the Gemara says, hani tamne srei chasrei havyan. What do you mean 18? There are 19. So Amar bilevi birkat haminim biavnet tiknua. So what does it say? The Bavli says, okay, so there's 19. There were 18 that, when we say there were 18, we mean there were 18 that were set up in one, right, earlier. And then there was 19. Then Yavnet, the 18 wasn't how many there have to be. It was how many there were original, and now there are 19. And what do you want from my life?
Right.
The Rishalmi, though, says, no, there are only 18. I, Birchat Aminim. So look at 13. Amar Levatani Kolel Shaminim Vishal Poshim Vimachni Azekim. So he says, well, I don't know exactly what you do, but, right, the way the Mefarshim understand it is, I don't know exactly what you do, but basically take one of those bracha there and combine them. Right? I don't know if you want to combine, I don't know which one you want to combine exactly, but combine something. Right? There are multiple themes going on there that are sort of related. Right, so combine one of them. And the way the Mepharshim say it, I don't know, combine V'Yerushalayim with a Tzemach or something, right? David with Bona Yerushalayim, or something like that. Right, do something. I don't know. All those around there can be connected somehow. So what is the Yerushalmi? So first of all, which is interesting, is Yerushalmi assumes you can only have 18. It doesn't really matter what the 18 are. They just have to be 18. But it also notes that the Yerushalmi recognizes that at least locally, there are inherent connections, right? Not the whole way, but at least those later bracha, the Yerushalayim and Tzemach David, if you needed to, you could make it one bracha. Because they are two bracha because we want 18, but if you want to make it one bracha, so put it together, right? Which shows you that the Yerushalayim thinks, again, this doesn't prove order along the way, but it proves, again, the Pnei Yeshua type order, that at least the within consecutive bracha, there are sometimes such strong links that in service of keeping 18, we might even mix them all up. And here, Dafka, the Yerushalmi, more than the Bavli, has this notion of connection where the Bavli really doesn't, because the Bavli just says, no, keep them separate and add a 19th. And the Yerushalmi is like, oh, not such a big deal if I start, you know, collapsing brachot, right? Because at least certain brachot are connected. Yeah, fine. Okay. But like I said, so that was sort of additions that I saw as I was going through Yerushalmi. But the one that really, really, really forces us to ask this question is Re'eh Vanyenu. Okay? As I said, this is really the kryptonite to it, because Re'eh Vanyenu seems completely out of place for a lot of reasons. First of all, it's the one where the Bavli tells us, and the Yerushalmi tells us, that why is Re'eh Vanyenu where it is?
This is the number.
So it can be in place 7. Right? That's the first hint that you have, that Re'eh Vanyenu is going to throw us off. Because it's in place 7, so that to remind us that Gula will be during Shemitah. Which tells you that it's not really about following Slach Lanu or coming before Rufayinu as much as it is that it's in 7, and after it's in place 7, so sure, find some connections, but the fundamental connection might just be, well, this has to be 7, that has to be 8, and that has to be 9, and you know, the other one is 4, 5, and 6, so great.
Is the significance of it being in Shemitah or like 7 because it's like the end of a cycle? 7 is always like the end of a cycle. So
presumably that's why Chazal assume, like theologically, that Gula would be Shemitah, yeah. Right? Is that it's the end of a cycle, it's the end of a something, right? 7 is always
a tough field. Complete.
No. Come on.
But it's also that it'd be like.
Yes, that's what it is. It'll be at the Sea of Masha. That's the same. Oh. Beautiful. But yeah, I assume it.
Last to see the shots at the huge stadium. Mashiach is going to get up on that podium.
Yes, yeah, exactly. That's what Mashiach is going to come. Exactly.
We have
sure.
a plane waiting for you guys.
What?
We have a plane waiting for you outside the stadium.
I mean, look, it is true that the Gemara says in Megillah that one of the signs of, one of the things that will happen with Manah Mashiach is that the stadiums will be used for Talmud Torah. Right? That is one of the predictions of the Gemara. But okay,
so cheated.
But it is interesting that that has happened. But it's not just that. It's not just that the Gemara tells us that Re'eh Vanyenu is where it is because of number 7. It's also because, as we've talked about, the Rishonim all try to figure out what is the structure of the middle brachot, and the easiest one that all the Rishonim want to start with is that the bakashot start with personal requests and then transition to national requests. The problem is that Re'eh Vanyenu throws that off. Because sure, Atachoneng, personal. Hashiveinu, fine, personal, maybe. Shlach Lanu, personal, fine. Rufa'inu, fine. Baruch, but no. It's clearly in the plural. Then we're davening for all of us. But it's not a national request. It's a many individuals request. It's a conglomerate. Right? We all want refuah rather than build Yerushalayim, which is a national request in
that's
nature.
That can't be personal.
What?
Meaning that can't be personal.
Right. Meaning everyone agrees that Shemoneh Esrei is in plural form because we're davening for all of us to have it.
So if you're davening biyachid, you still say plural.
What?
If you're davening in plural, in biyachid, you would still say it in
plural. Right, we still say it in plural. But the point is that the first half are like personal type requests. Right? We all want health, but we are healthy individually. Rather than building Yerushalayim, which is a national request. Mashiach, it's not David, having a court system. And Ashiva Shofteinu, these are national requests, not requests that all people want, but national requests. The problem is that Re'eh Vanyenu throws off this notion that there is a logical progression, because Geula, when you think about Geula, especially the way the Bavli and Yerushalmi both take it, is Geula. The Geula, which is going to happen b'Shmita. And that sounds like the Geula. So that already throws off this notion that there's a logical order. Now it's true that the Gemara says that why do you have it in this order? So if you look back at the Bavli or the Yerushalmi, it quotes Psukim, right? That you get Atachonein before Tshuva for a reason. And then you get Tshuva before Slicha for a reason. It says Slicha Geula because the Pasuk says, so Tehillim says that you'll get Slicha, Refua, Gula. So they're actually linked. And then obviously the Bavli and the Rishonim both say, then why is it not Slicha, Refua, Gula? And the Gemara's answer is, because Gula has to be number 7. Right? Gula has to be number 7. So on the one hand, there is this notion that Gula is somehow connected to Slicha and Refua. But really, the order should be Slicha, Refua, Geula, and we only put Geula in 7 because we like it in space 7. But that further throws it off. So here's the reason that Geula really throws things off is, first of all, we know it has to be in 7. Not only that, but the Gemara says this is a case where the Pasuk actually gives us an order, and we actually keep the 3 together but inverse the order in order to keep it in 7. Plus the fact that thematically it completely drives us nuts, because the whole order of Shemona Esrei, according to Rishonim, at least at first glance, is supposed to be personal and then national, and Geula doesn't fit. Right, so Geula, therefore, for all these reasons, really drives us nuts in terms of our attempt to believe that there is an order. Now, if you look, look at the Abu Jaham. Methodologically speaking, so what are we going to do? Right, so how are we going to do this? So methodologically speaking, so either we're going to take this as proof that, in fact, Shemona Esrei does not have an intense order. Or, what are we going to have to do?
Figure out how that there is.
Correct. We're going to have to reinterpret Geula in a way that's going to make it have an order. Now, either we're going to have to give up on the notion that Geula is national, even though the Bavli and the Rishonim both seem to say it's national, but we'll say, okay, it's sort of national also. But primarily, the Geula we're talking about is personal. Right, in some way, we'll have to come up with something, or we'll have to get rid of the idea that any of Shemona Esrei is personal and say all of Shemona Esrei is national from beginning to end, right? And therefore, we misunderstood it. But whatever we do, we're going to now have it's all going to any interpretation you have is in service of this question of how connected is Shemona Esrei. But today, it forces us to reinterpret all of Shemona Esrei, and that's why this is important to understand. So let's look at the Avodram. The Avodram says, "Achar kach yishal." This is 15. Achar kach yishal slicha u'mechila asher chata u'marad. So you ask forgiveness for having sinned and rebelled. V'achar kach yishal latzilo mitzarot kav u'mison av. And then you daven that God should save you from your enemies, because sin leads to you being punished, and therefore you now have to be saved from your enemies. So, Abu Draham, what does he do right off the bat?
Makes it personal.
He says there's a connection. It is personal. The Gemara says, really, Slicha should have gone, Slicha Rafua. Geula, yeah, sure. But Slicha Geula actually also makes sense. Right? Meaning, he'll have to reread the Bavli and the Yerushalmi in two ways. First of all, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi think Geula is about Mashiach. He'll say, yeah, maybe that's a secondary meaning. But the primary meaning is personal. The Gemara seems to say that the right order should have been Slicha Refua Geula, because that's what the Pasuk says. Not a big deal. Really, 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 there's an order in Shemona Esrei, and it makes sense that Slicha Shav Geula, because sin leads to you having problems in your personal life, and you ask God to forgive you, and then you can say, and get rid of the personal problems I've had because of my sin. So he says, Ulefi Shehem Avonot Kashim, Mitachloei Gufau, Hitim L'Sholem Tchila. And since these tribulations are worse than health problems, right? These are talking about particularly acute problems. So we put it before refuah. And then we talk about sickness. He makes it very clear that despite what the Bavli and the Yerushalmi seems to say, that must be secondary. Meaning, the way he'll read the Yerushalmi and the Bavli is, yeah, so Geula will be in the 7th year. But that doesn't mean that the bracha of Re'ev Aninu is about the ultimate gula. It just means it's the same word, the same generic concept. But really, 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 right, the Abu Draham seems to be motivated by a Mishnah Berurah-esque thought process, which is Shmoneh Esrei follows a very strict order. And therefore, if Geula is between Slicha and Refuah, that means that Slicha must follow, must lead to Geula, which must lead to Refuah, which means I got to rewrite it. Re'ev Aninu is about personal problems, and it's connected to sin. Right? And therefore, conceptually, in order to maintain his conviction that Shmoneh Esrei is ordered logically, he rewrites the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, the symbol of the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, and says that Geula is primarily about your own personal problems brought on by sin.
And what, right? What's the difference between Re'ev, Bonyanyu, and Slachma?
So he'll say, forgive me, and once you've forgiven me, so now I can say, and you know, all the problems that I've had in my life because I sinned, get rid of those. Right? That's how he. That's the logic for him. Right? Get rid of, forgive me. Once you've forgiven me, then you can take away the punishments that I've been having, which are A, problems in general, and B, health problems more specifically. Right? And that's the logic that he has. And again, this, I want you to understand, right? This is, what he has to do this is, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi both say that Re'ev Aninu is in place 7 because Mashiach is going to come during Shemitah. And he's so convinced that that throws off this notion of order that he, without even telling you he's doing this, tells you that the Geula we're talking about is Geulat Nafsho, your own trials and tribulations, and it's connected to Slicha, and forget the fact that two big things. A, the Bavli and Yerushalmi talk about Geula of Mashiach, and B, that they both say the order should have been Slicha, Refuah, Geula. He throws both of those in the garbage and says, yeah, sort of, but really this makes sense. Really this is the right order. But to do that, he has to reinterpret Geula, ignore the Gemara's that this is about Mashiach, and ignore the Gemara's claim from a Pasuk in Tehillim that the order should have been Slicha Refuah Geula. You only do this. This is one of those things, right? It's, you look, like Clapper calls this the Archimedean point, right? The myth of Archimedes, right, is that he said that he could tilt the whole world if he had a stick that went far enough, right, because of the fulcrum, right? So he, this is, right, Clapper's mashal, that you see how convinced somebody is, right, by how, right, you look for their Archimedean point. I mean, what is it that will force them to tilt the world, right? To move the world. And here, it seems that he goes against the symbol thought of the Pasuk in Tehillim, of the Bavli and the Yerushalmi at multiple levels. And why is he doing it? The only plausible reason is what he says, is that, well, obviously, Slicha logically follows to Geula, which follows logically to Refuah. Meaning, his unchanging point from which he will reinterpret everything else is this conviction that tefillah must flow one bracha to the next. And therefore, if it looks like the seventh bracha is about Mashiach and therefore breaks the logical order, it's wrong. Either Bavli and Yerushalmi both say it. Either Pasuk in Tehillim says that it could have gone in a different order. Hints. Hints, that's not the real shot. Yeah.
Not to like get in the middle of this whole, you know, thing, but if you don't say that Ray is talking about a personal thing, then to have a shofar, is that like redundant almost? Because like that seems to talk about the loss of
that. Well, that talks about Kibbutz Galiot, maybe that's different.
Maybe
that's Kibbutz Galiot, which is different.
Is that like a way that he would be able to say that we can still talk about Geula?
Oh no, obviously we do, but he's saying that comes later because there's a logical order to Shmoneh Esrei. First you talk about personal. Exactly, that's what he's going to do. He's going to say that bracha is about Geula. Right, that's what he's going to do. He's going to say that, he's going to say that Tikkah B'Shofar, that's Mashiach. This is a hint at Mashiach. But the Iker Pshat is not that. That's what he's going to do.
So people who don't say this, or I guess the Gemara, right?
Let's say the simple Pshat of the Gemara, yeah.
So the simple Pshat of the Gemara, which seems to say that for A is really the Geula, so they say that Tikkah is talking about
another aspect of it or something, I don't know. Right, well, we haven't gotten that far.
It seems like a decent, almost support for this idea, is that like...
Oh, it's not crazy. I'm just saying, I'm just pointing out that what he has to do methodologically, right? And that's why I would say what drives him seems to be this conviction. that there has to be a logical order, A to B, B to C, C to D. Now, it's not crazy in the Pasuk that the order point is a little bit weird because the order in the Pasuk is Slach Lanu, Rifa'enu, Revanyenu. But it's actually not crazy that the fact that that is the Pasuk that the Bavli invokes does tell you that his shot in Revanyenu is not bad, because if you actually look at the Pasuk, I gave it in 16, L'David barchinafsi adonai v'chol karavai shem kacho, barchinafsi adonai v'al tishkhi gog mulav, hasoleach l'chav unaychi, harofei l'kol tachloi, chego mishachan chayaychi. Right, meaning, it does sound like, in the Pasuk, it actually does, despite the order, it actually does sound like the Geula is personal. Right? I mean, look at it. Forgives my sins, heals my illness, and saves my soul from destruction. Meaning, what on the Avodraham is going for him is the shot in the Pasuk that Chazal quote, which is, to be fair, a pretty good support. And two is the conviction that there's an order in Shmoneh Esrei. What he has going against him is that the simple pshat in Chazal is that they thought that the order should have been in the order of the Pasuk. And we only switched it because of numbers, rather than him who thinks that, no, Geula logically follows from Slicha directly and should be before Refuah. Right? He says it should be before Refuah. Chazal say, no, Refuah should be first, but it should be in place 7, and Refuah should be in place 8.
Right?
Right? He says, no, this is the right order. Right? That is a little bit hard. Right? That's a bit hard. Now, you could...
It's possible he's saying it could be in this... Letter.
Correct. Right? You could... Now, he doesn't seem to say that, right? He says, Geula comes first because it's worse, and then Refuah.
Uh-huh.
But you're right. Meaning, if you wanted to defend the Avodraham, this is how you would do it. Again, first I'm setting up the argument against him. You want to set up the argument in favor of him. Argument one is that the pasuk that the Gemara quotes for Revanyenu clearly is talking about personal Geula and not national. And the second would be what he would have to say is, look, what the Gemara doesn't mean is not that Refuah should be before Geula. It's that fundamentally Geula could go before Refuah, Refuah could go before Geula. Both of them really flow from Slicha. Right? That if God forgives you, he'll get rid of your illness and he'll get rid of your problems. You could conceptualize it Refuah first and Geula second. You could do Geula first and Refuah second. There's a logic to Geula first and Refuah second. And then you have the numerical stuff, that's 7 and 8. But really, 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 there's a logical order here too. Okay? So again, let's just review that. Right? The simple pshat in the Gemara is that the Geula is Geula of Mashiach. And therefore it throws off the notion of an order because Slach Lanu is personal, Rafa'inu is personal. The Gemara seems to say that the reason it's in place 7 is against the Pasuk, and seems to say that both 7, 8, and 9 are all there because of numerical reasons and not conceptual reasons. The Avodraham says no, there's a logical order. Slicha leads to Geula and Refuah, but Geula goes first because it's worse than illness. And his proof that therefore this is personal Geula is that the Pasuk that Chazal quote does seem to be about personal problems despite them quoting in the context of Geula. So if you wanted to defend the Avodraham, you'd have to read the Gemara like this. Really, the order of Shmoneh Esrei is ask for personal requests and they ask for national requests. It's just that. Since Slicha logically could lead to either Refuah and Geula or Geula and Refuah, so once it could lead to either, so then we pull in other hints, like 7 Mashiach, right? Geula also means Mashiach, and Mashiach will come in Shemitah. And that allows us to pick a different coherent order. You're right, certain things could have been switched. But fundamentally, Chazal aren't saying that the 7th Bracha is about Geula. They're saying it's also about Geula, or it hints at Geula. So we might as well hint at it this way. But fundamentally, the pshat is that this is personal Geula, and therefore there's a strong logic to go from A to B, right? That's, but if you understand methodologically, what's driving him is this conviction in an ordering of Shmoneh Esrei. Yeah, Chaim.
Where does the Gemara get this notion of 7 being
in that you can look at it. I gave you both the Bavli and Yerushalmi that we did last week, right? We did it last week. But the Gemara says, oh, we know it's coming, and therefore, it quotes, then it gets to all things. Is that really true? What part of Mashiach will come in 7 will be the wars, will be good, right? The Gemara has a whole discussion about it.
Sticks with this idea.
Oh, yeah, Bavli and Yerushalmi, right? Yes. Yes. Okay. So that's one methodological move. The total opposite is to say, Right, what else could you do?
There's no order at all.
Right, you could just say there's no order, right? That's what we prove from here. There's no order, right? It's about Mashiach, and there isn't a real order, right? That's it, right?
That, with these three or in general?
In general, meaning there's like loose orders, but it's not a real order, and that's why... So, you know what, if we have to put Gula in the middle of where it doesn't belong, okay, big deal, right? It's more important than we have... Right, but really it's about Mashiach.
Right, or you say they're all...
Or you say they're all about... National, exactly. So now let's try to tease that other, right? We've seen one model. So let's look now. I don't know why the numbering started again, but I guess as I was playing and adding sources. So one, starting second time. So look, this is a Mishnah, right? This is an important source, right? So this is the Mishnah in Masechet Tanit, describing the fast days for rain, right? So Seder Tanya Ketzad. So what do you do on these fast days? So... Right, all the different things that we do. We bring out the Aron into the city, etc. Mishnah Bet, Amdu B'Tfilah, so you can get up to davening. And you daven, and how many brachot do you say on a fast day? 24. Right? They would have 24 brachot. Right? That's what it says at the end of Mishnah Bet. 18 plus 6.
Yeah, one.
Not these fast days, the fast days of rain and right? Now, what were they? So look at Mishnah Gimel. Ve'eluhin. These are the extra bracha. Zichronot. The shofarot. El Hashem b'tzaratali karati va'anini. Esalina el arim. Mimakim karasich Hashem. Tfilulani kiyatov. Rehud omer lo yitzarach lomer zichronot v'shofarot. El omer tachtem rav kiyah ba'aretz. Dever kiyah ba'aretz asher yad var Hashem el yirmiyahu al divrei ha'batzarot v'omer chot mehen. So here's the list of your interesting... brachot that you get. And then Mishnah Dala tells you, Al HaRishona, Hu Omer, Mishana, and Avraham Bahar Moriah, Hu Yanetchem. Mishma Kol Tzad Kadchem Ayomazeh, Baruch Ata Hashem, Goel Yisrael. Al HaShniyah, Hu Omer, Mishana, Rabotein Ol Yamsuf, Hu Yanetchem, Mishma Kol Tzad Kadchem Ayomazeh, Baruch Ata Hashem, Zochera Nishkachot. Now that was the only line I really wanted you. Right? In the middle of this, you learn something. Right, the simple pshat in the Bavli is what? What is Rav Anya knew about? Well, okay, if I asked you, what's the simple pshat in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi? Is Gula about national things or personal ones?
National.
Here's a Mishnah for you. On fast days, we have 6 brachot that we add because we are all suffering. All of the other ones are... Mishana et Avotenu al Yamsufu yana etchem v'ishma kol tzatchem brachat Hashem zocher hanishkachot. Right, these are like universal ideas. God remembers the forgotten. Zichronot, shofarot, you know all those things. Al shlishon mishani yeshuba gal yadchem vishma kol tzakatchem ayim mazeh brachatem shomea truah. Right, all the Roshana ones, and in that one of them is called Gaal Yisrael.
Well, is this he answered Avram?
Gaal Yisrael, correct. But think about the context on a fast day when we're asking nationally and we're invoking like these historic moments. Gula is the bracha that we start this set of zichronot shofarot, meaning it is the beginning of zichronot shofarot, of all of these like big national thing. Now you could say, okay, yeah, big deal. Those are still personal requests, but it's hard, right? Again, knowing the fact that the Bavli and the Yerushalmi both connected to Mashiach, and then looking at the Mishnah and realizing that Gula is the beginning of a set of zichronot shofarot, again, that points in the direction that this really is national. If you look at Siddur Rashi says, "But v'ilash anu mitbalin b'chol yesh dvarim b'chol shetzarech adam lahaskir u'b'shabbat ein tzarech lahaskir." I don't know why I put it in this order. Rashi though takes it of the right. He says there's certain things on Shabbos you don't mention during the week. You do im uchol omer chonin adat haya bal tshuva omer rotze b'tshuva im haya b'shevi omer goel Yisrael. So Rashi holds like who? Davu Draham. Right? He says, what is the bracha of Gula? If you are in captivity, that's the bracha of Gal Yisrael. So Rashi clearly holds.
What does that mean personally?
Like you. Like that's what it's meant for. Or obviously you say it every day, but his point is that's the...
What does that mean? If you live in Galus personally, or if you are literally a captive?
You're a captive. You're a captive. You're in jail. Right, he goes in the Avodah Zarah direction, despite the Mishnah. Right, I mean, these are big names. It's not like the notion that really, really, the yisod of Geula is your personal problems, it's Rashi, it's Avudraham. On the other hand, it's the simple pshat in the Mishnah, the Bavli, the Yerushalmi. But again, it's big names, and they have reason to do this. Now, there are proofs that this might be the case, but look at Rishonim, who take the Gemara Kapshuta. So look at number 3 and 4. The Gemara in Pesachim says, V'chotem b'geula. Amar Rava, Kriyat Shema, V'halel, Gal Yisrael, Tzaluta, Gol Yisrael, Maitam Ederachmi Ninu. Okay? So these are the bracha that we have on Pesach. So the Rashbam says, what is Tzaluta, Gol Yisrael? What is the nature of Gal Yisrael, the bracha of Gal Yisrael? What does he say? Shalom mitpalin al ha'atid. The geula we're talking about is Mashiach, the future. In the future, Rashbam. Look at the Maimar Chametz L'Rashbats, Rashbates, V'chotem Gal Yisrael, Glo Goel Yisrael, Ki B'tfila Omer Goel Yisrael, Shula Shon, Bakashat Rachamim, Al Ha'atid. Right before Tfila, you say Gal Yisrael, and the one inch more Esrei, like the Gemara says, is Goel Yisrael. Why? Rachme Ninu, which the Rashbam, the Rashbates say, is the future. Atid.
Who's the Maimar Chametz?
Rashbats, Rav Shimon ben Tzemach Duran. It's a Rishon. Talmud of the Rivash, if I remember correctly. Talmud of the Rivash, yeah. And then he says it even right about Halal Omer Gal Yisrael Gula Mitzrayim Umitzarev Begula Hatida Kichen Helu Bigmar Brachot Kilatid Kishmas Maskirin Kibutz Galuyot Mishtafin Ma Yitzyah Mitzrayim. Right, when we will talk about Gula and the talk of Mashiach, we'll also talk about Mitzrayim. So that's why Gal Yisrael go El Yisrael. But clearly, Rashbam, the Maimar Chametz of the Rashbats, what do they think this bracha is about? Mashiach! Right, Mashiach, exactly what it sounds like in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. That's what it is. And therefore, what is the, is there an order? I don't know. Right? Like, what do you want from me? Right? Like, so it throws off the order. Okay. Look at the Seichel Tov, right? Midrash Seichel Tov, which is a medieval midrash, so. He says the same thing. And he says, look, three lines on the bottom. We daven that God should take us out of Galut, so we say, Goel Yisrael. Right, again, you want explicit formulations of this? Okay, you know, we can keep going. So all the way to the other extreme, you get this. So now you'll tell me, okay. So we have two directions we could take from this. Right? One is that we could say that the fact that Goel Yisrael is about the national one proves that there isn't an intense order, right? There isn't an intense order because Slicha is really personal, Refuah is really personal, Geula is not. Shows you that the order isn't so important.
Right.
Or you could take the position that we have to reinterpret all of Shmona Esrei. So we'll come to that. But let's keep looking through. Let's summarize a few more Mepharshim here, right? So you get Svas Emes says, he defends the Rashi position, the Rashi and Avudraham. He says, how he can defend it? So some of this I've already said. He says, he says exactly what Chaim says. He says, really, Rav Anyenu, it was not about Mashiach. You know which one's about Mashiach? Tika b'shofar gadol l'chiruteinu. Yeshu kol achad bracha latzma. Because he said each idea has it. He says, look at the last line. He says, yeah, whatever. It's like, it means a lot of things. So primarily it's personal. And I know it's personal because Tikkat B'Shofar Gadol is about Mashiach. But we like, it has a hint to Gula. And that's why he put it in 7. But yeah, it's not against the Gemara. The Gemara is just saying it has a hint to Gula also. But fundamentally this works. And the Marsha says the same. He says, "Ma ra'u lo mar geula b'shviit, haynu geula min hagalut ki masik shartidin li goel, aval geula racholem min hamavet kvar mefurash dibatar refua isa dechser." Sorry, punkt right here. The Marsha goes in the opposite direction. He says, "No." He says, "Doesn't the pasuk do slicha refua then geula?" He says, "You're right." Personal geula goes after refuah. But national gula goes before. So he says, no, the pasuk proves the opposite. Right? The fact that in the pasuk it's Tzlicha Refuah Geula proves to you that this is dafka national gula, because personal gula should go after Refuah. Allah the pasuk in Tehillim. The fact that our gula is first is what proves, not like Rashi and the Avudraham, but like
the Rashbam
and the Rashbats, right? That it's national. I'll skip the Mishnah Berurah for now. Look at number 10 at the Olam HaTfilot of Rav Eliyahu Monk. He writes, Rav Aninu, Acharei Kvutzot HaBakashot Al Shlomeinu HaRuchani HaNafshi Matchilot HaMishalot Al Nechasim HaChomriyim Vezek Namoz Al Tolatana Pnit She'elu HaKadmot. First we talk about spiritual things, Atachon in Hashiveinu Slach Lanu, and then once we deal with the spiritual things, we say physical things. Why? What's the logic of the order of Shmon Esrei? Right, this is essentially an expansion of Avudraham. Physical goodness is a product of spiritual goodness. Right, if we're good, then we can have, and that's the order of Shmon Esrei. Habracha Rishana B'Sidur Zeh Nogad B'Drishah B'Tshuva B'Yoter Chir Tosh Gozer Noshi Nanshom Mikol Gomim Ha'olim Lagbel Chofesh Pulato Bracha Zush Gol Yisrael Eina Nigemen L'Gulah L'Umit Gulah D'Galut V'Medubar M'Chayer Tel Gulah Min Atzar D'Boil Einu Tamid. And therefore it must be that this Gulah is about our personal ones, right? It's an expansion essentially of the Avudraham. I gave you a word here from a conversation between the Satmar Rebbe and Rav Moshe Feinstein. The Geula Shleima here is like a perfect Geula from these. Okay, I don't want to read it inside. You can look at it. Okay.
Wait.
What?
What's the summary in that?
I just said that. He has this. I mean, look at the last line, right? He says, Gula Shleima, he had Gula Meatzara Belim Tamina. Right? The Gula that we're talking about is that they'll never come back to us. And, okay. Whatever. I gave you several vorts on this. The question is, how many shirim do I want to spend on this? Okay, I gave you a lot of other things that we can maybe come back to, but let me give you the other possibility now, okay? We've done basically the two possibilities. One is that there really is an order. You have to reinterpret Re'evanin about personal things. The opposite is to say it's Geula and there's no order at all. But if you wanted to say both, that there is an order, and Geula is really about Mashiach, just like it sounds in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. What are those things called? Right? Mishnah, Bavli, Yerushalmi, those things. What? Both Gemara, right? All of Chazal, all of that. Then what you need to do is you need to...
say it's a prayer.
You need to reinterpret... No. Is that you need to... Right, the other option is to reinterpret Atachonin, Ashivenu, and Slachlanu, and everything. Right? That's the real opposite extreme. So the person who really took this...
Why can't he just say that everything from Rav Aninu on is national, but Atachonin and Ashivenu and Slachlanu...
Oh, you could do that too. Sure, you could do that too if you wanted to do that. Right, you could do just those. The only problem there is that Slach Lanu is supposed to be connected to Geula. That explicit in the Gemara. Right, so that would... So really just Atachon and Ashivenu, except Atachon and Ashivenu and Slach Lanu are linked by Apostolic. So it would get very tricky. The person who really, really did this in modern things is Reuven Kimmelman, who is a scholar of liturgy and rabbinics at Brandeis. And I gave you part of his article in 21. What?
What was that title again?
He's a professor of liturgy and rabbinics, or rabbinics, but the focus on liturgy, I don't know. Whatever. Here's his article. It's called The Daily Amidah and the Rhetoric of Redemption. So first I gave you the abstract, and then I gave you some quotes. But the abstract will make the point quickly, and then you'll see what I want. He says, the Amidah as presently constructed constitutes an argument for redemption. The first triad of blessings presents a tripartite thesis. After arguing that God should bring the Redeemer, it makes the case, right, I mean, God is Magen Avot, it makes the case for resurrection and concludes with a worshiper acclaiming the kingship of God on earth. Common to all three is the affirmation that God is king. Perceiving God as Lord of history, Lord of nature and death, and Lord of Israel heightens the expectation of redemption. The first two units of the intermediate blessings, I mean 4 through 9, presents three accessible dimensions of redemption. Personal salvation, physical recovery, and agricultural revival, in order to sustain the hope for the not yet available national redemption. Pointing to the experience of the former serves to enhance the plausibility of the latter. The next series of national eschatological blessings, meaning things that have to do with Messiah, that's what eschatology is, the study of the Messianic period, delineate the order of redemption, commencing with the great shofar's blast of freedom, which announces the ingathering of the exiles and culminating in the return of God to Zion. Since the themes are all biblical, the liturgical contribution lies in the linguistic formulation, in the sequencing of events, and the emphasis of divine involvement. All three converge to make the point that God alone is the Redeemer. Blessing 17 and 18 also advance the drama of redemption. Blessing 17 concludes with, "May our eyes behold your merciful return to Zion," whereas Blessing 18 concludes with the hope that all the living will worship you. Thus, the last two sections of the Amidah advance from personal through national to universal redemption, each stage involving the progressive realization of God's kingship. Finally, understanding the Amidah's theme to be future redemption explains how the blessing of redemption of the Shema came to focus only on past redemption. So basically his thesis is as follows. It's not quite as extreme as I said, that everything is about national. It's hard to say Atachon and Hashavein are really national. But his argument is that Shemoneh Esrei is about the notion of Geula. And that it's an extended argument of explaining how God is the Goel. And that's why it starts with Smichat Geula L'Tfilah. And then what do? The first three brachot are God is the Magen Avot. He can even be Mechayim Etim. And he's the Melech. And then we go on and we say, and he redeems us in our personal lives, and since he redeems us in our personal lives, that tells us that he can do it, that helps us experience the truth that he'll redeem us nationally. And therefore he says, maybe Reivan Yenu itself is about your personal gula. But the theme of Shemoneh Esrei is not personal or national. It's making an argument for God as a redeemer. Right? And therefore these are all linked in a thematic enough way that yes, 4 through 9 are about personal requests, but they can indicate the later Geula, because Geula is really the theme of all of Shemoneh Esrei, and therefore there are multiple resonances.
So it's about like the personal experience of Geula almost.
It's about the experience of Geula.
Yeah.
Shemoneh Esrei is about the experience of Geula, and therefore, but since the whole theme of Shemoneh Esrei is Geula, that's why it's fair to blur national and individual, even if the local theme of 7 is individual, since the theme of Shemoneh Esrei is Geula, it makes sense to put it in 7 and anchor Shemoneh Esrei with resonances of the ultimate Geula, even if that's not what it means here, but it also means that. Right? And that's, if you look at the actual quotes I gave you, he says, "Take the deliverance of blessing 7 as referring to the individual, extends the personal redemptive scenario to 4 blessings. The understanding graciously granted by God in blessing 4 is pressed into the service of Torah, etc., and blessing 5, which in turn sparks the awareness which leads to seeking the forgiveness of blessing 6, which in turn paves the way for the atonement of personal redemption in blessing 7. From the theme of personal redemption in the first unit, the middle blessing moves on to the second unit, consisting of blessings 8 and 9. It could be argued that the two units are juxtaposed, because after seeking the redemption of his soul and health for his body, one prays for sustenance and to preserve the life of the body and soul, except that it does not do justice to the specifics of blessings 8 and 9. These blessings focus not only on the substance of health and sustenance, but also on the restoration of bodily vigor, along with maintenance and revival of agricultural prosperity." Right, they're not just about health and wealth. It's about it's prosperity and everything that brings to the world, to society. Right, meaning there is this notion we already saw in Chayam Etim that having prosperity is a form of Chiyan Hametim. Right, it's more than just give me money. The blessings both are presented as divine involvement in the natural process. For the worshipper, the evidence in the natural realm, the same reversal of destiny or saving grace that is available in the human realm through personal redemption. Indeed, the themes of seasonal revival, healing the sick, and resurrection also brought into association blessing 2. And he said that's why these themes come up over and over again. As we shall see as well, some later versions, including by the blessing for the new month, which play for the same breath, for timely rains, complete recovery, and speedy redemption. Right? In sum, the first two units of the intermediate blessings, 4 through 9, present three accessible dimensions of redemption in order to sustain the hope for the not yet available national redemption. Point to the experience of the former serves to enhance the plausibility of the latter. The next series, I think I copied this twice. Yeah, because this is straight from his quote. Look at just the last page, and this is where he says, okay, and how did this play out in the last three brachot? So he says, the last triad of blessings also advance the drama of redemption in the middle section. Blessing 17 in its present formulation makes this explicit when it concludes with, may your eyes behold your merciful return to Tzion. Blessed are you, Hashem, who restores his presence to Tzion. Blessing 8, right, that's what it says. Blessing 18 opens with, we worship you, Modim, followed by several considerations, depending on the version, of the sheer wonder of divine beneficence in order to pinpoint why God elicits thrice daily prayer, praise. It continues saying, for all of these, may your name be blessed, exalted, and extolled, O our King, continually and forever, followed by the hope that all the living will worship you. Right? Think about even Modim. He says, Modim, we thank God and we hope that one day, kol ha'chaim yadu chasela. He said, if you follow it, it's everywhere hidden are these aspirations of like redemption for the world. The shift from our acknowledgement of God to his universal recognition frames much of the eschatological core of the rest of the liturgy as well. The last two sections of the Amidah advance from personal through national to universal redemption, each stage involving the progressive realization of God's kingship. In the last stage, it is made clear that it is the precursor of universal recognition of God's sovereignty is his return to Zion, a theme that reverberates through the liturgy, especially on the high holidays. The Amidah concludes with a blessing for peace. It is formulated as an exegetical adaption of the priestly benediction, right, which ends with, may God grant you peace. The worshipper entreats God to realize this promise of peace, given that the subject is not universal peace, and that the previous blessing already marked the climax of the universal acknowledgement of God. This fleshing out of the priestly blessing turns out to be naught but an appendage to the eschatological scenario of the Amidah. It reflects the tendency to conclude prayer with a hope for peace. Dot, dot, dot. Okay? So here, methodologically speaking, so I said, right, we have the local question is, what is Rav Aninu? Is it personal problems or national problems? But what drives that is the following, right, is the Avudraham, Rashi, they say Geula must be personal because there's an order to Shmona Esrei. And therefore, the Gemara talks about Geula, okay, just a hint, but fundamentally, the order to Shmona Esrei is daven for your private things, then daven for national things. Rashbam, Rashbat say no, there just seems not be an order. It's personal, and then there's a national one thrown in the middle, and that tells you that it's not really about order. Maybe there's some localized order, but fundamentally, it doesn't matter. Right? It doesn't matter. But right, Kimmelman goes to the opposite extreme, and he says, there must be an order, and if there must be an order, and Re'ev Aninu breaks it, so I agree that it's personal, but doesn't that seem to go against the Gemara, which says that this is about national redemption? He says, yes. And therefore, what we'll do is, in order to maintain both the notion that this is personal, but also a resonance to national redemption, and maintain the notion that there's order, it's going to lead me to reinterpret all of Shemona Esrei as an extensive argument that God is the Redeemer. And therefore, he says, that's why the first three brachot go, Magen Avot Mechayim Mikim Ata Kadosh, God is the Redeemer, he can even bring the dead back, he's involved in the world, and he is King, and that's why he can redeem. He redeems us in our private lives, but that teaches us about future gula. So yes, the first half is personal, and the second half is national, but not because these are two separate ideas, but because the fundamental theme of Shemona Esrei is gula, and therefore it makes sense that there have to be multiple resonances in Bracha 7, because yes, locally this means that give us wisdom so that we can do tshuva and then forgive our sins and then save us from our tribulations and our health. But the reason we do that is because we recognize God saves us in our private lives, which is what teaches us that there can be geula, and therefore it makes sense that there are multiple resonances, because he's convinced, yes, this is personal, yes, there's an order, but in order to defend it and to maintain also the Shita, the Bavli, and the Yerushalmi, that the geula being referenced here is the ultimate geula, he says there are multiple levels, because Shmoneh Esrei is all an extended argument that God is the Goel. And that's why Shmichat Geula Tefillah literally frames Shmoneh Esrei.
Yeah.
Right, and that's why these ideas of Geula come up over and over in the Shevach and the Hoda'ah, and that it isn't, it's not just there's an order, but there's an argument being made in Shmoneh Esrei. right? And therefore, to square all the pieces, he comes up with this shita. And that's what I said when I said that by understanding Goel Yisrael, if you want to square all the evidence, it might lead you to reinterpret all Shmoneh Esrei, which is what he does. Right, which is to say, yes, these brachot have local meanings, but what explains the order and the placement of all the brachot is this notion that Shmoneh Esrei is an extended argument for God as the Goel. Hence, Smicha Gula Tvila, and then Shmoneh Esrei as it appears. And I think that, you know, by getting into some of the details of the seventh bracha, even though we didn't do everything, right, Toch G'day, we've learned a lot about the seventh bracha, but we've also learned a lot about what it means for there to be an order. Is there an order, and what would it look like? Is it just there's a logical order, or, as Kimmelman says, no, there's a logical order which is making an extended argument about the nature of Hashgacha in the world, and that's what explains the order, which is a complete, right, which is a way of sort of squaring a lot of the circles here. Maybe when we get to Rav Anyenu, I'll throw in some of the other words, but the basic ideas of Rav Anyenu and what it sheds light on in terms of the ordering of Shmoneh Esrei, we've covered. I don't know if I want to spend another week on it. The truth is that from 12 on, I put in sources that also speak about Slicha and Refuah, so maybe we'll just deal with them locally when we get there. I put the sources together because they all talk to the order question, but I think we've made the general points sufficiently. Okay, Shkoyev.